Welcome to Hashtag Love Yourself. I'm your host, Jessie Jobson, and I'm going to guide you on your personal journey towards self-love. Hi, my beautiful souls. Welcome back to Hashtag Love Yourself. On today's episode, we are going to talk about self-parenting. All right. Well, first, before we get started into our self-parenting episode, let's go ahead and thank our sponsor. Today's sponsor is Loveworkers LLC, which is the company that I run. A little bit about my company. It is an online but also an in-person education system that teaches people to be mentally, emotionally, and spiritually well. But also, I'll leave my link so that anybody can follow me on any of my platforms and get more than just this Love Yourself podcast dose if that's what you're interested in. Okay, well, let's go back to the episode. We have a really good episode today. It is about self-parenting, and I don't know if any of you out there have heard this term or know what this is. It's kind of self-explanatory, but once I got into the depths of learning self-parenting, especially when you do the work and you go on your journey to love yourself, I think that self-parenting, whether you're labeling it that or not, is something that you're naturally doing on the self-love journey. And so I wanted to bring up self-parenting so that we can understand the act of what it actually is, and we can identify it, but then we can also kind of dig a little bit deeper into how to properly do that and why it's so important, right, for our self-love journey itself. All right, so self-parenting, the definition of it is the act of learning and meeting one's own adult mental, emotional, and physical needs that went unmet in their childhood. And so I kind of, after knowing what self-parenting was, just like I said, naturally through learning how to love myself better, like learning the act of self-parenting, but then also listening to different therapists and counselors online, reading different books and hearing this term. And, you know, the definition in itself, when it talks about having the unmet needs, you know, from childhood, right? I define it a little uniquely. Like, it's very similar to what the dictionary says, you know, or like, you know, what they've coined the term, right? And mine is more that we all self-parent, but some people just don't know. Like, some people don't know that they're doing it, right? Even if we have a completely fulfilling childhood or not, right? Everybody, there's a spectrum, just like anything else, like we've talked about in other episodes before, is that there's a spectrum. And everybody's going to be placed on a different part of the spectrum. And so every adult on this planet, right, they self-parent. But some people, we don't coin it self-parenting, and I'll explain why. Ideally, self-parenting is supposed to work something kind of like a firewall protection software that runs silently in the background of your computer slash, we'll use this analogy of your mind, right? But your computer is your mind in this analogy. And so you don't really have to think much and do much, most people, right? And it just cleans and it rejects unhealthy things and it allows healthy programs, right, and healthy tools and habits to run smoothly without much of your attention to it. So that's how self-parenting is supposed to work ideally, right? Because how we get this self-parenting aspect of ourselves, right, is it's like installed during your childhood from being cared by your own parents and your caregivers and how they cared for you and how they modeled caring for themselves, right, in front of you, right, with their healthy behavior. So since childhood, you know, raises you and you have these caregivers that are providing this care for you, then when you become an adult, right, by the time that you become a full adult at the age of 28, you are just ingrained with these habits, right, that by that time are fully developed and you can take care of yourself without much thought, right? It's just secondhand to you at that point, right? You just care for yourself because you were cared for as a child and you know how to do it. You were cared for mentally, physically, and emotionally. And so those things all just become like, I mean, yeah, some of them at first, you know, like learning how to cook for yourself when you first move out into your own apartment after college or whatever, that's harder to do, right? For some people. But you know, you learn how to do it. It becomes your habits and the way you move through life. It just becomes part of you. And so that's how it's supposed to work, right? Self-parenting, right? Good self-parenting and ideal self-parenting, that's how it works in our world. And we don't really call it self-parenting at that point because it's just, like I said, you're just living and you're just, you're thriving and you're well-adjusted and you know how to take care of yourself emotionally, mentally, and physically. But then we have a larger population of our earth, right? That it doesn't really work out that way for most people, right? That life's not that easy and our childhoods don't end up that seamless, right? And so what ends up happening for most people, right, is they grow up, right, and they're cared for, but maybe there's some gaps within their care, right? Whether it be emotionally, mentally, or physically. And those gaps when you grow up are things that you don't know how to do on your own once you become an adult because you didn't have people caring for you in that way as a child, or you didn't have them modeling it for you, right, in a healthy way. And so since you never received that care and you never had examples of that care, you don't know how to care for yourself. It's just that simple. You don't know what you don't know, right? So we have a larger population. Statistics show that currently in our world today, we have around 95% of adults growing up into this 28 adult range, right? Without the proper installation of healthy emotional response tools, without knowing how to physically take care of themselves in a healthy way, right? And we can see that with our obesity rates. We can see that in, you know, our diseases that are finding and plaguing our physical bodies because of the way that we're taking care or lack of care for our physical vessels, right? And so that just, then you have an adult who has all these gaps and doesn't know how to care for themselves in certain ways, doesn't know how to place maybe healthy boundaries. I mean, there's all different ways, like maybe your parents or caregivers weren't physically healthy and they didn't know how to, you know, show you how to eat healthy or physically take care of your physical vessel. So then you then grow up and you kind of mimic and copy like their eating habits, right? Sometimes people break the cycle, right? But that breaking the cycle and changing those habits becomes the self-parenting is what essentially it is, right? And so whatever gaps that you didn't receive as a child from your environments as a kid and from your parents and caregivers, that is the gaps that you as the adult then have to self-parent yourself. You have to learn, you have to find some way, you have to go out there and go to counseling, go to read self-improvement books. You have to go out into the world and you have to do the work to learn first, retain the information and the wisdom, and then you have to learn how to practice that and parent yourself essentially is what it is, right? You have to learn how to properly parent yourself from what you lacked in the parenting as a child. Okay. So that could be a plethora, since we're also individualized, right? And everybody's childhood is so unique, just like how everybody's experience is unique to them, right? We all come away with a different plate of gaps and strengths. Okay. And not to say that our world is doomed at all, because that's not what this is at all, right? But like we see in statistics that our world is at a predominant unhealthy place, right? They're like, you know, just with the statistics, we find like families not being functional, you know, being mostly predominantly dysfunctional, right? And so then we have that turns into adults. Unless they take the stand to parent themselves, right, and fill in those gaps that they have been given as children, then we have people that just end up regurgitating that. Essentially is what it happens is we have gaps as kids, then we grow up as adults. We don't know how to fill those gaps. If we don't take care of those gaps, then we reproduce. We have children of our own, and we provide our children with the same exact gaps. Not identically, usually. We usually change a few things, right? Because we have our own experiences, right? And our own perceptions of the world, right? But at large, we are regurgitating mostly, unless we're taking a really healthy stand in our life and in our family, right? For ourselves. We're just regurgitating that to the next generation. And we're providing those gaps for our children, unfortunately. And I can speak for myself, right? That even for me, someone who, you know, obviously I have my mindset on health and it's, you know, I run a business that's what it's about self-love and loving, you know, not only yourself, but loving others and being healthy and thriving and fulfilling. And even with that, I have lived a life where I had gaps as a child, had a lot of gaps, and I had my children before I went on my self-love journey. And having children before I really learned how to parent myself, really got my feet wet with parenting my own self, I noticed, and that was one of the reasons why I went on the self-love journey, was I noticed I was doing the same exact thing that my parents were doing to me. And it was like I was dying and screaming inside that I didn't want to do that to my children, but I didn't know any other way, right? I hadn't learned it. And so I had to do the work, right? I had to accept it. Another definition, which I thought was really, really cool because it gives you kind of different angle of looking at this, what self-parenting is. Another way of defining it that I found out there, which was cool, is a paradigm that explains the characteristics between the two voices having conversation inside one person's mind. So the inner parent and the inner child conversing back and forth, right? So that parenting voice, like being the one that is the logical, the sound mind voice, right? Versus like the one that is more of like, oh, I'm too scared, I can't do this, or oh, I'm nothing, or like, you know, the one that's like worried and full of self-doubt, and things that are less logical and more childish, right? That's what I thought was really cool to think about this self-parenting as placing it on those inner voices, right? And that is what a lot of self-parenting work is having those healthy conversations with yourself in your mind, right? And parenting yourself through it just like a parent would do to a younger child, right? And just developing that voice instead of what we hear in society, instead of maybe what your caregivers were saying in an unhealthy way to you, right? Making like that unhealthy message that you got over and over again that you weren't good enough, right? But then becoming that parent within your psyche and in your mind and rebuking that and saying, I know that you feel this way from that experience that you just had today, but the truth is that you are loving, that you are kind, that you are amazing, that you are wonderful, and that you can do this. You are strong enough. You can get through this, right? That is self-parenting in the mind, right? And self-parenting goes beyond that. And let's talk about how it's not just the mind. And that's why I love that definition, right? I thought it was a cool way to look at it, but I also felt like it's not just the conversations that we have, right? That is a huge part of self-parenting, but that is just one piece of it because the next piece is the action. And that action piece is really important, right? Because if we can tell ourselves all day long that we're worthy and we're good enough, but if we're not acting that way, right? Taking the action in our life. Like if we're not stopping ourselves after 3 bowls of ice cream just because we've had a hard day, right? We're not being healthy and parenting ourselves in a healthy way for our physical body, right? Or if we're not You know, some people it's drinking, right? Whatever your vice is, right? Some people it's drugs. Some people it's sex addiction, right? Whatever that vice is, it's not just the talking yourself off the ledge. That's the self-parenting. It's the act of actually getting things done, right? And so this is the thing to think about, right? With the self-parenting, the thing to think about is where in your life where are your gaps for you, right? And it's easy for us as adults, I think it's easy enough to like see like the really like light stuff, right? It's easy for us to look at like, oh, I shouldn't be, you know, eating this before bed, right? I shouldn't be, you know, not drinking enough water throughout my day. I shouldn't be getting less than this many hours, you know, 8 hours of sleep a night, right? It's easy to know some of those things. But for some people, like I said, everybody comes with their own plate and platter from their childhood. So maybe some of those things are tougher for people than the other ones, right? Just depends on where you're going to be at. So I can't really give everybody like exactly for them the recipe, because you're going to have to make that up yourself. But what I can say is that the true key and the true act in and like success, right, to this whole self-parenting of how you're going to take care of yourself is going to be in really being honest with yourself, right? Honest with where you're thriving and where you're either just getting along or you're surviving, right? Life, right? Because that the difference between being fulfilled and thriving and being healthy versus surviving life and getting along and, you know, you're just doing it, right? Because, and you're making your ends meet, to stay alive, right? But you're not really truly thriving, right? And living a fulfilling experience. And so that's where people have to start. And that's like a tough pill for a lot of people to swallow, right? Especially when you start the self-love journey, right? I feel like that's a tough pill for people to swallow because they don't want to, no one wants to say like, I'm not doing a good job, right? Your ego wants to run in and be like, no, I am fine. I'm healthy, right? But if you were healthy, right, would you have stayed in that abusive relationship for so long? Would you have had so many conflicts with toxic, unhealthy people that you participated in, right? Would you be overweight? Would you not be physically fit at this moment, right? It's all those things that you just have to be really, really honest. That's the key to self-parenting. And I think that's a really big key to self-love too, right? That we don't think about. So now that we know, right, that we all have this self-parenting voice and act within our own habits and our psyche, but that some people are raised in healthy environments where self-parenting works in kind of like this silent software in the background of our subconscious and our conscious mind. So we don't even really notice it, that it's there. It's just ingrained within our habits and our healthy emotional tools that we use, right, throughout our life. And then others, which, like I said, is more common, are growing up with gaps in their childhood and that don't require, that don't equip us with what we need to be healthy and stable and thriving adults that can take care of ourselves fully and in a healthy way, right? So, you're going to find yourself on your own part of that spectrum, right? And like I said, you just have to get really, really honest. And that's part of loving yourself, getting really, really honest with where are my gaps personally? Where am I not fulfilling myself? Where am I not feeling fulfilled in life? Where do I see that I have a gap, right? Whether it be physically, whether it be mentally, whether it be emotionally, in your communication and the way you stand up for yourself and your boundaries, whatever it is for you, everybody's going to be different. So since you have your own unique platter, right, of your gap, your own gaps and your own strengths, right, it's the gaps that you're left with that you have to be adventurous enough to go out there and learn on your own, right? And you have to break that chain of pain in your own bloodline, okay? Because if not, you're, like I said, you're going to regurgitate exactly what you were served as a child. And that's not what we came here to do, right? We came here to be better. And I feel like every generation and every child that is born is meant to be better and better and better, right? We're meant to get better as a human species, right? That's just what we came to do. And so for like, just to share my personal story with it, I never was taught how to regulate my own emotions as a child, right? And from a very, very small child, I was labeled sensitive, which all that really means is that I feel emotions at a really, really large level, larger than most people, right? And so when I would feel these negative emotions as a child, right, anything like dissatisfaction or frustration or, and you know, any of those low-end emotions, it was really painful for me. And more painful, I would express that it was more painful maybe than other people were used to feeling them, right? And so my family didn't really know what to do with that, right? They didn't know how to deal with me. So instead, I was almost like punished for expressing those lower end emotions. And when I would express the happy ones at high rates, right? You know, everybody loved being around that. But it was when I was experiencing the negative emotions and didn't know how to regulate myself, I was usually ignored or abandoned emotionally, right? I was told to go in time out, right? And a lot of times I would just cry myself to sleep. I remember that as a kid. And so no surprise that when I had kids of my own, right, that I didn't know how to model self-regulation of my own emotions. I mean, I had kind of learned some ways to get by that were kind of mediocre, right, up at that point by the time I was an adult, right? But the really big stuff was daunting for me, right? And so I didn't know how to even model that for my kids, but I had no concept of how to teach them how to regulate themselves. And a sensitive person as myself, you think that I had non-sensitive kids? No, both of my children are very extremely emotionally sensitive, right? Just like me, maybe even more so. And so then as a parent, I found myself bumping my head a lot with how to teach my children to regulate themselves. And I even went to a therapist for them. I didn't have a therapist talk with my children. The way that I dealt with it was that I would go to this child therapist and I would give them stories of what was occurring in our family. And then the therapist themselves would advise me on how I could be a best of assistance to my children and be the best parent that I could possibly be for my kids. So my kids never saw this therapist. I, as the parent, always just went and had these conversations. And then the parent would tell me, okay, try this because this is a healthy way of helping them regulate themselves, right? And so, like I said, I had bumped my head a lot, right? But that was me self-parenting, right? First, I had to get It wasn't until that I had to get my own emotions in check and I learned how to regulate mine that I was actually able to properly help them regulate theirs. Like that was the thing, is passing that down to them, right? Because in the end, really, majority of the way that you're parenting actually, like when you parent, majority of your parenting doesn't really necessarily come from the way that you speak to your kids. It actually comes from your example. So they, like Abraham Hicks, her famous line is words don't teach, example does, right? And that is really true, that as humans, we view people, right? That's how we learn best, a lot of us, is that we see examples of it around us and we can see that modeled behavior and then we can go out and exhibit that behavior within ourselves, right? See monkey do, right? And so so that was just one personal experience of how for me I had to go and parent myself. I had to learn how to regulate myself and then I was able to share that with my kids. And hopefully now, right, they're little enough that I'm catching it and helping them, you know, providing that for them so that they don't have a gap there themselves. Okay. So now it's like, okay, so now we know what self-parenting is, right? But now how do we self-parent? And like we've talked, like I said earlier, it's like everyone's going to be so unique, right? There's no, like, I can't give you like the recipe, right? For your own personal matrix of gaps that you have from your childhood, right? And from your parents and caregivers. But what I can do is I can say that we know simple things like don't eat a tub of ice cream in one sitting. It isn't healthy for your physical body. Don't eat fast food every single meal of the day. Your body can't thrive on that, right? Make sure you get 8 hours of sleep. You know, all those things, like the little tiny basic things, those are normal, right? And I feel like our society, we know those things, right? But it's really when it gets to the bigger things, right? When we get to the things, and there are some physical things, right? That I still feel like I said, like most people in society physically aren't healthy, right? But we are, like, those are things that we can see people, right? And we can see examples of it usually. Those are easier to see, right? Easier, it's harder to hide. Like, for example, I have a few coworkers who, their parents never taught them how to clean themselves, right? And so I can't have a conversation with them for more than a few minutes in their physical presence because their parents just didn't teach them to their hygiene, right? And so that's the thing, is like everybody has like their different gaps, right? And so when you have gaps like that, right, you just have to find what those are for yourself, right? You have to be able to really identify where are the gaps for me personally. So start with the basics. Are you physically giving yourself enough to thrive, right? Is your physical form thriving? Or is it just getting along? Or is it even lower than that and just surviving at this point, right? What are you putting in your physical body, right? That's a big one for a lot of people in our culture, right? In the American society, and other cultures out there too. What are you, just because you can put it in your mouth and eat it and poop it out doesn't mean that it's food, right? That doesn't mean that it's good for your body, right? It might taste good, but that doesn't mean that's good for you, right? So parenting yourself in that way, like learning about food, like if your parents didn't provide that for you about what actual nutrition is, when you become an adult, it is your responsibility to actually learn that information, fill that gap for yourself, right? Are you getting enough proper sleep, right? Are you giving yourself proper relax and respite? In our, again, in American culture, we're really unhealthy in this. 46% of Americans don't use all their paid time off reported by their employers. Like their employers are literally, I remember I was at one company for a few years where every monthly meeting they would tell people, because people would have that same question that they would bring up to the management of, hey, can I please cash out my PTO time the hours that you're giving me? Please, can I cash it out? I want to work and cash that out instead. And the company was like, no, it is healthy, mentally healthy for you to be taking time off and having vacations with your family and having respite. Like that's what that's for, right? And so literally making sure that you're valuing your mental and your emotional health that way, right? Like when you take a vacation with your family, what does it do for your family and for you, right? Showing your kids how to do that, you have to do it with them, right? Are you feeling like, or fueling your body in a healthy way, which I really feel like I've nailed that one in so much. It's really important to me now. But like I said, for me personally, I remember when I was a kid, we were poor, so we didn't have that much money. So we couldn't afford really the luxury of healthy things in our home for food and diet. My mom tried her best, right? And she did the best with what she was given, but we really just didn't have the funds, right? That wasn't a luxury that we had because we were surviving financially, right? A single mom with three kids. And so then when I became an adult, then I went into a marriage right after being a teenager, and my partner as well didn't know how to be healthy and feed himself physically, right? And so then when I got divorced, that's when I learned I had to like how to feed myself and make sure I have 3 to 4 meals in my body a day, right? To making sure that I get that done. That is a priority for my physical health. Making sure that I learn how to cook healthy meals that I enjoy, not just that fuel my body, but that I physically feel good about and mentally feel good about eating. Like it's a physical enjoyment when I eat, right? So learning how to do that and doing it on a budget. I'm a single mom, you know, making sure that I can do that on a budget, right? And then you go into like your mental stuff. Like do you have healthy, balanced, fulfilling relationships with other people? And I think that's one place where majority of the world, the physical stuff we can really get on board with, but it's really, really hard for us. We have a lot of gaps in our emotional and mental stability, right? And a lot of people are starting to learn, but it has taken generations after generations to get there, right? And so where are you filling the gaps? Like we're feeling the gaps, I should say, feeling like, where are you feeling like unfulfilled in your life, in your relationships with other people, right? Are you feeling like you can't stand up for yourself? Are you a people pleaser, right? Of all the things that we talk about in other episodes, that's what the act of doing those things is, self-parenting, right? All the things that are important in self-love, right, is your self-parenting. So really, self-parenting and self-love is both in one, right? And that's why I say I learned how to self-parent myself when I went on this journey of self-love, because I wasn't fulfilling those gaps previously in my life, right? And then when I decided that I was going to love myself, I had to learn what that was, and I had to learn how to do it, and I had to learn to take care of myself. I had to learn that care that I wasn't given as a child. And I didn't automatically know how to do, right? Like ideally we would hope people would from a healthy childhood. I didn't have that, right? And since I didn't have that knowledge and that understanding and those models to know what that looked like, I myself didn't grow up and just automatically know, because I wasn't seeing it in examples around me and I hadn't experienced it from my caregivers, right? And so again, like the questions that you want to keep asking yourself is like, do you know how to regulate yourself when you experience trauma and negative emotion, right? Negative energy from other people. Like, what do you do? One thing that I do now to self-parent myself with that is when I have any like ounce of trauma, right? Whether it be something big or whether it be something small, especially when it's something big, but even when it's something small, like the other day I had a coworker, I do a little bit of serving at a restaurant. And so just when my boys are gone with their dad. And so at that employer, right, I had a coworker who was, he has some outbursts emotionally, and he had an outburst that was, he turned towards me, right? And it doesn't just happen with me. It happens with all coworkers, but it was turned to me that day. And so when I went home and got off shift, I was emotionally exhausted because he had unloaded his emotional energy and just spewed it all over the place in my direction, right? And so that is a trauma. And people don't realize that, right? I experienced trauma that day from his abuse. He was being abusive. He was yelling and screaming and taunting me. That is abusive. And so when you have an experience that's traumatic like that, and that's why I wanted to explain how simplified the seems, right? But it's a trauma. So when you get maybe like another one that I can give you guys, that's an example, is an insurance company, right? I filed a claim for somebody hitting me, and then obviously that person lied, and then they are pretending as if it's, you know, it wasn't their fault, all these things. But the insurance person on the phone, whatever their title is, was really aggressive because they're trying to get a specific response out of me. And so their negative energy and their aggressiveness is a form of abuse, right? It's not healthy. It's dysfunctional. And it works for them and their company, but it's trauma. So when you have traumas, how are you responding to them, right? How are you, And that's where the self-parenting is going to kick in for you, right? How are you rebuking that negative energy that you've experienced? How are you balancing that out for yourself? That's your self-parenting. How you're doing that, okay? And like I said, a lot of the times, we're not even taught or have good models of behavior to know how to deal with that. And what I have learned to do with self-parenting is that I follow up the bad with the good, right? And I make sure that to the degree of negative, like energy that I experience, that I install or instill, I guess I should say, positive and a positive experience for myself, right? So the day after I got off shift, right, I made sure that I did something pleasurable and relaxing for myself that is kind of out of character for what I normally do, so that I have an induction of positive in my experience that few days rather than just the negative. Does that make sense? Like making sure that I'm balancing the scales of negative and positive experiences, right? Because life's going to happen, right? And I can't control the environments around me, right? I can put up boundaries and do what I can, but I can't control my environments. That's just not, and you won't be able to either, right? But a good parent knows that they have no control over the outside world, but all they have control is how they can respond to their child, right? And the same thing to you. Now you're self-parenting yourself. Now you can only control how you're responding to yourself. How are you taking care of and making yourself feel good and feel safe and feeling fulfilled and thriving after trauma and after abuse, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. So do you know how to properly communicate your needs and wants in your relationship, right? That's a big one for a lot of people, that we sometimes don't get that training in our childhood, right? Do you know how to set up goals and do step-by plans to achieve your goals and feel fulfilled in your life, right? Because it's nobody's job but yours to render your success. That is your job and your job only, right? So do you have the emotional response tools to handle rejection, cruelty, and abuse, right? How are you responding to that kind of stuff, right? Are you feeling negative emotion and then not allowing that to be released and handled properly so that you don't continue to have a chronic experience with it, right? I think that's the biggest thing is like, so think about this, is when a teenager, right? Say a teenager comes home and they bring home a friend, a wild friend, right? And in your home, in, you know, the home, and that wild friend, isn't respectful to the family's rules and, you know, regulations of the home and like is abusive to like what, you know, the boundaries are and breaks the boundaries and is disrespectful and, you know, maybe dirty or whatever, what happens? But the parent, right, if it's a healthy parent, says, well, that friend's not allowed over here anymore in our home because they couldn't respect my rules. They couldn't respect our home. And I don't want them around here. So no. And that's exactly what you have to do, right? You have to parent yourself in such a way that you're the parent of your own mind. And you have to say, well, this person is not healthy and doesn't make me feel safe. So therefore they're not, you know, they're not able to stay in my life and chronically make problems, you know, where I feel bad. And so that's the thing, is you just have to be that parent and that adult. You have to learn. And whether it be that you go out there and you learn that through counseling, therapy, whether that be you go out there and read books, right? You don't have to pay someone if you don't want to, but it can be very valuable, right? I know that I have learned a plethora of information from books on the internet, right? I've also learned some from people, you know, one-on-one connections with people as well, right? But yeah, so just to kind of recap, it's like in the end, know that what it's going to do for you is that for self-parenting is going to be that constant care and concern to make you the best version of you, right? So when you're trying to learn how to self-parent, when you're the first steps, you're going to ask those questions of where in my life am I less than thriving, right? Where in my life am I not caring for myself? Because by the time you're 28, you're fully developed in your brain, right? You are fully, and even in our American culture, they give you the reins at 18 and they say that you're fully developed, which our brains aren't. But by 28, you should have it down, right? You should have your habits. You should be able to take care of yourself mentally, emotionally, physically. And if you have gaps, then that is when you say, where am I not caring for myself? It is my job to care for myself. It's nice when other people give me a helping hand in that, but it's my job now, right? And where in my life am I not being fulfilled? where in my life, right? And that's where you're going to take that step. And then once you answer those questions, once you get the answers to those questions, that's when you're going to go seek out that information and learn how to do that. Whether it be learning how to set boundaries, whether it be learning to say yes when you mean yes, not when you don't want to be doing something, right? Making sure that you have healthy, fulfilling, thriving, balanced relationships in your life that are not lopsided, where you're left feeling resentful and unfulfilled, okay? And last but not least, our physical health, making sure that you're taking care of your body, because that's part of parenting yourself, self-parenting, and loving yourself, right? You don't just love your mind space or your emotions. You love it all. You love your physical vessel, right? You love the fact that you can get up and go play with your kids at the park. You love the fact that you can take a walk out in nature. That's a gift, right? But taking care of your physical body and valuing that physical health aspect of you, right? All right. Well, I feel like that's all I had for this self-parenting. I hope that you've learned what it is and really kind of how to take the reins and do that. And then, like I said, it will be a unique plan and a unique thing to you once you start to self-parent, of like what you will actually need and how you will seek out that wisdom, how you will seek out that knowledge. But that is the act of self-parenting once you realize your gaps. So go out there and enjoy thriving by self-parenting. Okay, don't forget, love yourself. Bye. Thank you.